Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
It was a beautiful evening along the coast of the Pacific Ocean near San Diego, California, USA on Christmas Day 2015. The sun was setting over the ocean and making the waves dance in the light. But 33-year-old Joshua Burrell didn't notice the beauty of the sky or the sea. As Joshua walked along the cliff above the ocean, he was distracted by his mobile phone. He was so focused on the content on his device, he didn't watch where he was walking. His mind consumed in what he was thinking about, what he saw on his device, and suddenly, without warning, Joshua Burrell walked off the edge of a cliff and fell 20 meters to the rocks below near the ocean. Horrified onlookers rushed to the edge of the cliff and tried their best to administer life-saving CPR, but sadly, it was too late to save the young man. Joshua Burrell died from the fall. He was too distracted by his phone, and he missed the path and lost his life. The tragic true story of Joshua Burrell contains a warning to all of us today. What you focus your mind on has a powerful influence over your direction in life. Simply put, your thinking determines your destiny. You see, just as taking your eyes off the path in the physical realm can have disastrous consequences, so too, taking your eyes off your spiritual destination can have disastrous results as well. If you don't mind the road in life, you will miss your destination, and the consequences will impact you, not just here on this earth, but in eternity as well. Fortunately, there is a way for you to overcome the distractions in your life's journey. When you learn how to listen to God's thoughts, you'll stay focused on God's will and you will fulfill God's plan for your life. That's the lesson we're going to learn today in our sermon titled, Listen to God's Thoughts. But before we go further, let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you that we're here in your presence wherever we are watching, and you are speaking to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. So now we ask you to give us ears to hear what you're saying. Give us ears to hear your word. Give us ears to know your thoughts that we might listen and obey. We submit to you now. We bind every voice that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts and lives today, that we might learn to listen to your thinking and have your mind. We thank you by faith now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to invite you to take a moment and join your faith with mine right now. Go ahead wherever you are and put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Agape House. It's great to have you join me online today as we come to the conclusion of our sermon series titled, Listen. For the last few weeks, we've been discovering the secrets from God's Word on how we can listen to God and hear His voice. So before we go further in today's message, let's take a moment to review what we've learned so far. We began this series a few weeks ago with the sermon, Listen to Jesus. You see, the Bible tells us in John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. In other words, it is the right and the obligation and the duty and the privilege of every child of God to hear his voice and follow him. Jesus didn't say, my prophets hear my voice or my pastors hear my voice. He said, my sheep, my followers hear my voice. See, God expects every Christian, every child of God to listen to him and know his voice. It's one of the most exciting and awesome things in the world when you learn to listen to God. But here's the problem. There are a lot of voices in the world. That means we have to learn to discern. We have to silence the voice of our own emotions. We have to silence the voice of the crowd in the world. We have to silence the voice of the enemy lying to us. We have to draw close to Jesus and listen to him. And that led us to last week's sermon titled, Listen to God's Word. The fact is, God's voice sounds exactly like God's Word. If you want to know God's voice, you need to get to know God's word. And when you listen to God's word, you'll receive the truth that will save you. For you see, God's word is the rock that cannot fail. His word gives us strength and stability in the storm. If you'll learn to listen to God's word and submit to it, you are guaranteed success in life. You can survive any storm, any pandemic. You can overcome any enemy. You can triumph through trials when you listen to God's word. But in order to get the full impact of God's word into your life, you have to fill your heart and your mind with God's word. You can't just hear God's truth once on a Sunday. You can't just read one chapter of the Bible a day and hope that it will bring you success. In order to truly listen to God's word, you have to take the next step. You have to let God's word fill your mind so that you think God's thoughts. And that brings us to today's message titled, Listen to God's Thoughts. For the fact is, when you let God's word fill your mind and you begin to listen to God's thoughts, you will discover a better life than you could ever imagine. Now, to help us learn the truth for today, we prepared sermon notes. The notes will help you follow along with me as I preach. And our text for today is taken from Romans 12:2. You can get your sermon notes right online on our website or on our Facebook page. Romans 12:2 is going to be displayed on the screen. It's on your notes, but I believe God's word has the most impact when it's in our hearts and on our lips. So I want you to read it out loud together with me. Wherever you are, go ahead and say it out loud. Here we go. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1, go. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Of all the great verses in the Bible, this has to be one of the simplest yet most powerful verses. Inside these few short words, we have a command, don't copy the world. A promise, God will transform you. And a roadmap, change the way you think. And the truths in this verse can change your life and change your future. Think for just a minute about what God is telling us. God links our future destination with present day behavior. God gives us a clear road to follow that will get us to the right destination in our lives. And if you want to get God's plan and purpose for your life, you have to learn to listen to God's thoughts. If you want to achieve God's good and perfect and pleasing purpose for your life, you have to change the way you think. But listen carefully. The Bible doesn't just say change what you think about. It says you must change the way you think. Changing what you think about is part of the process, but it's only a part. Life transformation involves more than just thinking good thoughts. It involves a whole process of thinking. It involves learning to listen to God's thoughts. So today, let's discover three steps to help you listen to God's thoughts. And here's your first step today. To listen to God's thoughts, you have to fix your focus. If you have your sermon notes with you, just take your pen and fill in the blank with the word focus. And listen again to the first phrase in our text for today, Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Now think carefully about the choice of words God uses here. If you want to copy something, you have to study it carefully. You have to focus on it. If you want to copy something, you examine it and look at it and then reproduce it. And this speaks to us about focus. Jesus is telling us if you focus on the world, you will copy the world. But if you focus on Jesus, you will copy Jesus. For the fact is, footsteps follow focus. In other words, you'll move in the direction of where you're focused. That's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs 4:25-27, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. So to get to the right destination, you have to stay focused. To this day, I can still remember a time when failing to heed this truth nearly caused a road accident. I was out driving on the Tema motorway, speeding along smoothly, when all of a sudden, I passed a fire burning off to my right side. The sight was fascinating because the fire was burning in a field, but it was close to some buildings. And as I started looking, I started watching what was happening, I got my focus off my driving and onto the fire. And sure enough, where my focus was, my vehicle started to move in that direction. As I looked at the fire, I started moving towards the fire. And before I knew it, I was off the road. I had to quickly swerve back to avoid an accident. Because what you focus on in the physical will dictate your geographical destination. And what you focus on in this life will dictate your life destination. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. Your life moves in the direction of the thoughts you listen to the most. Hear what God tells us in Hebrews 11, 15 to 16. The Apostle Paul is talking to us about those who followed God in ages past. Listen carefully. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. If the people of Israel had focused their attention on Egypt, they would have gone back, because where you focus your attention, that's where your feet will follow. If they'd been thinking about their past, they would have returned to their past. And the same is true for all of us. If you start thinking about your past, it opens for the door for you to return to your past. You can't think about past relationships or past pleasures or a past lifestyle, because footsteps follow focus. But if you focus on the heavenly realm, if you focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you learn to listen to God's thoughts and focus on the eternal, that's where you'll end up. You will focus on eternity, and your life will end up with God in eternity. That's why the Bible says in Colossians 3, 1 to 3, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights, fix your focus on the realities of heaven. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Friends, if you want to go to heaven, you'll focus on heavenly things. If you want your destination to be an eternal one with Christ, you'll focus on eternal things. For letting your eyes wander all over the world and focusing on all sorts of pleasures and fascinating delights will lead you off the road and away from your destination. Even in this day and age, during the coronavirus pandemic, we need to be careful not to fixate and focus on the news reports coming from all over the world and how people are dying and things are happening. We need to fix our mind and fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And when we focus on him, we will follow him and be kept safe. That's why David prayed in Psalm 119, 35 to 37, direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. So let me ask you a question today. What thoughts are you listening to? What has your focus? If you're wise, you'll focus on the things that will get you to your destination. That's why Proverbs 17, 24 says, sensible people keep their eyes glued on wisdom, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. That's the tragic lesson I learned from my former personal secretary, a young lady named Jennifer Ritter. Jennifer was a lively young lady from Pennsylvania, USA. When I was a missionary in Nigeria, Jen came all the way from America and worked with me as my personal secretary. When I moved to Ghana, she returned to the US, and shortly afterwards, we were excited to hear that she'd become engaged to a young man. They met, they fell in love, and were getting married. Well, one night, Jen had gone to discuss wedding plans with her fiancé. Driving home from his house at night, Jen decided to listen to music, so she reached over to pick up a CD and put it into the CD player in her car. But as she did, the CD slipped out of her hand and fell on the floor of the passenger side of the car. Jen momentarily reached over to pick up the CD and put it in the player. But in the seconds that it took her eyes off the road to get the CD, she went out of her lane and was hit by a truck coming head-on towards her. Jen Ritter died instantly. A distraction cost my former secretary her life. Just a moment, just a brief glance away, just a simple distraction, and her life was gone. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. If you don't control your focus, you won't control your future. This is why the Bible tells us in Hebrews 3:1, "Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. Fix your mind on Christ and you'll follow Christ. Get distracted and you'll go astray." And that brings us to our second step today. To listen to God's thoughts, you have to fix your thinking. Just take your pen and fill in the blank on your sermon notes with the word thinking. You see, the first step to change your thinking is to fix your focus. Then the second step is to fix your thinking. And that's actually good news to all of us today, because the truth is you don't have to be under the influence of every thought that comes into your mind. You can change your thinking. You can call on Jesus to help you, and you can change your thinking when you surrender to him. That's why our text from Romans 12:2 says, "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." And today, you can let God change you by changing the thoughts you listen to. And if we stop and think about it, we would have to admit that we all know this is true. Every action starts in our minds. Every hope, every dream, every project, every goal starts with a thought. Today, we even say, "Think before you act." Because we know this to be true. We know that life change begins in our minds. That's why Romans 8:5 and 6 says, "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit." So letting sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit of God control your mind leads to life and peace. Your mind will either be controlled by the flesh or by the Spirit. Those outside of Christ have minds controlled by the flesh. But the new life we have in Christ gives us the power to break free by letting God dominate our thinking by listening to God's thoughts. And I'm here to tell you today that you can be free. Your life can be changed. You can break every wrong pattern of thinking, for Christ has come to liberate you from stinking thinking and give you a new and better life. So just tell the person near you, "Neighbor, it's time to get rid of your stinking thinking." Somebody say amen. If you'll let the Holy Spirit take control of your mind, you'll have life and peace. If you'll listen to God's thoughts, you'll be transformed. The same mind that held you as a prisoner will have to turn around and give you life and peace when God takes over. Somebody say amen. That's the truth we can learn from the true story of a man named Yassine from Rabat, Morocco. Yassine grew up in dire poverty. His father died when he was just 14 years old, and he was forced to scavenge in the local dump to support his family. Every night, Yassine would go to the rubbish dump in Rabat to scavenge for whatever he could find to sell or use. The environment was filthy, the work was dangerous, and the income was minimal. Yassine actually saw people die in the rubbish dump right in front of his eyes. Sometimes, stronger men would wait till the end of the night when he and others had gotten things and then come and rob them of the things they'd scavenged throughout the night. But rather than remaining in bondage at the dump, Yassine decided that he would not be a prisoner to his conditions. So Yassine enrolled in university even while working at scavenging in the dump. And over time, Yassine earned his university degree. He went on to establish the first cooperative for waste recycling in Morocco. He banded together with other scavengers from the dump, and they began processing rubbish in a treatment facility. In the rubbish dump, Yassine had no rights. He didn't even feel like a human being. He was a victim and a prisoner. But now Yassine has taken control of the very thing that used to hold him down and enslave him. Listen to the words of Yassine. "We were victims of the dump. But today, we are its future." And that's how it is for you. Your mind may have imprisoned you. Your thoughts may lie and tell you that you'll never be free. Your pattern of thinking may have prevented you from rising up and taking control of your life. But through Jesus Christ, you can take control of what used to hold you in bondage. The rubbish heap of your mind can become the treasure that brings you life and peace. In fact, that's exactly what God wants for you. That's why he says in Ephesians 4:17, "So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. God insists, he commands us, if you want a new life, you need new thinking. Break off the old habits of the rubbish heap of sin and put on the thoughts of Jesus Christ. Listen to God's thoughts and start to change the way you think. You see, the fact is that most of life's battles are won or lost in the mind. The enemy knows that if God gets control over your mind, your life will change. The enemy knows that if you break free from the bondage of your bad thinking, you will get on the road to spiritual success. So he wars against your mind day and night and tries to capture control of your thoughts. And that's why the Bible urges us to fix our thinking. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, the Word of God says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive," what? "Every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Taking every thought captive literally means you're like a policeman arresting every thought by brute force. See, friends, here's the fact. Either you become captive to your thoughts or your thoughts will become captive to you. If you don't control your thoughts and bring them captive, then you yourself will be a captive. But if you bring your thoughts under the control of Jesus, you yourself will be free. Right now, all over the world, people's minds have them in bondage. There are people who are so afraid of the coronavirus pandemic, they can't sleep at night. They can't do anything. They're paralyzed because their thoughts are all focused on the negative. I'm not downplaying the severity of the pandemic, and I'm not saying it's not a serious crisis, but what I'm saying is your thoughts don't need to keep you in bondage. You can be free when you yield your mind to God and let his Spirit put within you his thoughts. Take every thought captive. Be intentional about your intention. Block every wrong thought from entering your mind and uproot every wrong thought that is already there. Every thought has to be arrested and submitted to God. So here's the truth you need to put on your keychain and carry along with you today. Not only do you reap what you sow, you also harvest the weeds you fail to uproot. There are some thoughts that are weeds in your soul. And if you don't uproot them, you will eat the bitter fruit from them. If you don't pull up those weeds of carnal thinking and of fear and of doubt, you will eat the fruit of those carnal thoughts. For what stays in your mind stays in your life. That's why Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." If you don't control what's on your mind, you'll never control what you do. That's why Ephesians 4:22-24 says, "Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." And if you'll get a new attitude in your mind, if you'll begin to listen to God's thoughts, you'll get a new life. It's not just individual thoughts, it's the entire attitude of your mind. And that leads us to our third step to listening to God's thoughts. To listen to God's thoughts, you have to fix your filter. If you've got your sermon notes with you, take your pen out and fill in the blank on your notes with the word filter. See, you have to do more than put the right facts in your mind. You have to learn to filter the facts through the truth of God. You have to put the right filter on your thoughts. That's why Romans 12:2, our text says, "Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." When you begin to change your life by changing your thinking, then you have to learn to listen to God's thoughts. I learned this lesson the hard way in the early years of marriage. Back in those days, my wife used to love to rearrange our furniture. It seemed like every week she would come and rearrange the furniture in our bedroom, in the parlor. She doesn't do it as much as she used to, but in those days, it was frequent. Maybe it's because we were poor and we couldn't afford to buy new chairs. So somehow she thought if she put the chairs in a different position, it would make things seem new. Well, it didn't really bother me that my wife was always moving the furniture around the house, but sometimes it created a problem. I would just get used to the chair being here, and I'd learn to walk around it, and then all of a sudden it would be shifted, and I would continually bump into a chair or a table. I was in the habit of being one place, and I kept forgetting that she'd moved it into another place. So I was always bumping into furniture. I had to learn a new way of thinking. I had to learn a new pattern of walking. I could put the right facts in my mind, but it took time to learn. What I was used to thinking was no longer relevant to my life. My familiar pattern of thinking needed to change. The old was out, the new was in. And my feet kept telling my mind, "Mind, you need to change." And so it is for all of us as Christians. Information alone is not enough to change your life. You have to learn to think as Christ thinks. That's why Philippians 2:5 says, "Think as Christ Jesus thought." Listen to God's thoughts. You not only have to have the thoughts of Jesus, but you also have to have the thinking process of Jesus. To think as he thought means you filter the truth the way Jesus filtered the truth. The fact is, we all filter facts. We all have a thought process that takes information, interprets it, and reacts accordingly. Two people can receive the same information and react differently. They both have the same knowledge, but they process it differently. A negative filter leads to negative conclusions. Not so long ago, I called two of our Agape Bible College students to my office for a meeting. And when they came in, they both had very different reactions. One of them was nervous. His face was drawn. He was obviously tense and unhappy because he was thinking, "Oh no, the senior pastor has called me to his office. What did I do wrong?" But the other came in with a big smile. He was excited because he'd received the same invitation but filtered it differently. He came in smiling and excited because he thought, "Wow, Reverend Whitcomb called me to his office," and he was happy. They had the same facts, but they applied a different filter. And that's important for all of us to know because you can't have a positive life with a negative mind. That means you not only fill your mind with truth, you receive God's truth and filter it from God's perspective. For the fact is, information without revelation will never lead to transformation. That's why the Pharisees were so deceived. They had all kinds of knowledge about the Bible, but they had no revelation. They could tell you all the facts of God's word and about the Messiah, but when Jesus the Messiah stood right in front of them, they didn't even recognize him. And the same is true for many in the church today. We can quote the Bible and tell all kinds of facts about stories from the Old Testament, but our lives have never been transformed because we don't have the filter of revelation. That's why the Bible says knowledge puffs up. Simply filling your mind with Bible facts won't change you. You have to have the mind of Christ. You have to listen to God's thoughts, and you have to think like Jesus thought. That's why 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, "We speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths." In other words, we pass the facts through the filter of the Holy Spirit. We don't just have information, we have revelation. He goes on in verse 14, "People who aren't spiritual cannot receive these truths from God's Spirit." The people who aren't spiritual have facts, but they don't have a spiritual filter. They only see the natural, they don't see the supernatural. He goes on and says, they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things. In other words, if you have the mind of Christ, you have the filter of revelation, and you can filter the facts through the truth. 1 Corinthians 2:16, "We understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ." There's a filter called revelation that you need in order to understand God's word. You need more than new thoughts. You need a new mind. You need the mind of Christ, and that only comes when you listen to God's thoughts. Understand today, friends, that these are not just words to the Apostle Paul. This is the very message of his life. If ever there was a man who fixed his thinking through the filter of God's truth, it was Paul. He learned to think about every situation with the mind of Christ. For example, Paul had a dream to preach in Rome, but he went to Rome as a prisoner. That could have discouraged him. That could have defeated him. But instead, he processed those facts through the filter of the mind of Christ. And Paul fulfilled his destiny by preaching from a prison cell. Listen to what he said in Philippians 1, 12 to 14. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. The fact was, Paul was a prisoner. But the filter was, God used him in prison to give him a guaranteed audience. The prison guards were captive to his preaching, and they went and told others. The fact is, he was in chains, but the filter of the mind of Christ told him that God was working through the chains to free others. The whole Roman guard knew about Paul and knew about the gospel. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. You can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you filter it. Right now, none of us can control what's happening in the world. Even mighty nations are powerless to stop the coronavirus. You can't stop the spread of the virus in Ghana or anywhere you live. And how the disease is impacting all of us is out of our control. But you can control the filter you use to view what's happening in the world and what's happening in your own life. That's the powerful truth we can learn from the true story of a man who lived through the last great disease that struck the world, Ebola. Daniel Sidike Touré is a 23-year-old man living in Sierra Leone. When Ebola struck his nation hard, Daniel was one of the victims. He lost 27 members of his family to Ebola, including his mother. And worst of all, Daniel himself was infected with the Ebola virus. He was taken to the Kerrytown Ebola Treatment Center, where he spent 16 days in treatment. Miraculously, Daniel survived Ebola. In fact, he was the first survivor of Ebola at Kerrytown. Listen to his words. When Ebola came, it snatched away everything, all the happiness that I used to get, Daniel says. I used to have a whole family around me. My sister is the only one left now. She's the only family I have. Daniel could have said to himself, I'm a victim. I'll never recover. I've lost too much. I'll never get it back. But instead of feeling sorry for himself, Daniel filtered his experience through a positive filter. Rather than saying, I had Ebola and I'll never recover, Daniel said, I had Ebola, but I survived. Rather than saying, I've had too much pain, Daniel said, I will turn my pain to gain. So Daniel went back to school and is currently studying to become a physician. He refused to allow his loss to ruin his life. He refused to allow his pain to prevent his future gain. He filtered his circumstances through the lens of possibility, and he's come out a winner. Not so long ago, he told the BBC, I want to become a doctor to help the needy and to help others who do not have access to good medical care. For you see, when you put your pain through the filter of God's power, you realize that he can redeem your loss and turn it to life. When you put your circumstances through the filter of God's love, you'll realize that God can turn anything around for good. So here's the truth God wants you to act upon today. Don't interpret God through your circumstances. Interpret your circumstances through God. That's what the prophet Jeremiah tells us in Lamentations 3, 21 to 22. Listen to his words. Yet this I call to mind. This is what I think about. And therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. Jeremiah faced discouragement, yet when he brought his mind to the goodness of God, it brought him hope. When he filtered the facts through God's thoughts, he thought of God's love and power, and he received courage. And the same thing will happen to you. When you fix your filter, it will bring you hope. When you process everything through the mind of Christ and learn to listen to God's thoughts, it will give you courage. The coronavirus has brought circumstances to the whole world that we can't control. Maybe you're in lockdown today. You feel as if your whole life is paralyzed. Maybe you're in quarantine and you feel so isolated and alone. Or perhaps you're scared or worried financially or emotionally or physically. But the fact is, all of those things that seem to be negative circumstances must pass through the filter of God's word. You may be in lockdown, but your spirit is not locked down. You can draw close to God. You can worship him and pray and get to know his voice. You can spend time seeking him, building your faith. You may be in quarantine, but you're never alone. For Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you'll call on him, he will be near to you. His peace and his presence will fill your life today. And even though it may seem like you have no opportunities and your life is at a standstill, you can't work, your business is failing, if you'll listen to God's thoughts, he will show you new ideas. He will birth new creativity in you. I believe that new songs are going to rise from this pandemic. I believe that new books are going to be written because people were in lockdown and quarantine. I believe that new inventions are going to be birthed from the time people are spending at home. I believe that new projects and new business plans are going to develop. And if you'll listen to God's thoughts, you'll realize that God is not limited by the circumstances of this world. He's going to birth new hope, new plans, new dreams, new ideas, new inventions, new songs, new books in your heart. For anything is possible when you listen to God's thoughts. That's why my prayer for you today is found in Romans 15, 5 and 6. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God grant you the same mind as Jesus Christ had. May all your thoughts be his thoughts. May we have one mind and one voice to glorify God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And that prayer will be answered today when you follow the three simple steps to listen to God's thoughts. Number one, fix your focus. For footsteps follow focus. Your life moves in the direction of the thoughts you listen to the most. Number two, fix your thinking. The life you build is a reflection of the way you think. What stays in your mind stays in your life. And number three, fix your filter. How you view life determines how you do life. If you want to get to a better future, don't interpret God through your circumstances. Interpret your circumstances through God. For you can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you filter it. And when you learn to listen to God's thoughts, you will have the mind of Christ. You'll see as he sees so that you can do as he does. You'll live the best life possible when you learn to listen. The hope of
nation. God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagos. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30 or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience. We're heroes in-